And today we are truly hungry for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look with us this spiritual affirmation, Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him.
And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.
And all bear him.
And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.
And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country.
But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian.
And all the innocent of God, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath.
And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Dear Lord, we are grateful for you to be in our presence this day. We are grateful for us to be in your presence this day. We are grateful that you are here. We are here together. And today we want to worship you. We don't even always know what that means. We know it's more than singing. We know it's more than just hearing the word. There's something about our hearts that needs to bow down to you and worship you, surrender to you. So today, Lord, help us to surrender fully, give ourselves completely, thoroughly in worship and praise, because you, Lord, are so worthy. Thank you for being here with us and giving us the grace to be here with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We can trust him to be with us. He says he'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's God. He's God all by himself. And we can worship him. We can praise him. We can trust him. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that riseth against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord, the sons of the Lord. We're his, and he will keep us. He will watch over us. He will work with us. He will work in us. And in him we live and move and have our very being. He's God, God all by himself. And so the question I have for us today is, how will we react when we are confronted with the truth that he is who he says he is? when we really understand who he is, what will be our response? Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to hear you this day, to know you this day, to sense your presence this day, to be aware of you this day. And then, Lord, help us to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke, the fourth chapter, Luke 4, it's a really fascinating chapter. And in this chapter, the first part of it, Jesus has been baptized and he is full of the Holy Spirit, and he goes out into the wilderness fasting for 40 days, and he is confronted by the devil, and the devil speaks to him, and it's just an amazing thing. The first thing he tries to get to Jesus, to get Jesus to supply his own needs, to supply his own stuff. He tries to work in him to do something unnatural to be able to have food. And he says, wait a minute, I don't have to do that, because it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Lord. And then he tries to get him to allow himself to be put forward before men. He tries to get him to accept worship in a way that is not right. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He tries to get him to take all of the political power, and he says, no, that's not what it's all about. That's not the salvation. I won't do that. He's not even going to tempt God by saying that I'm a man of God. I can do anything I want and nothing will hurt me. He says, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He does all of this. And then this next section comes up in verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I hope that we're walking in the power of the Spirit this day. In fact, you know, this day you can walk in the Spirit. Today, you can walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This day, it's possible for you to do that. I would ask that you would be filled this day with the Spirit of the living God, that God would have control in your life. And then he goes and teaches in their synagogues. You know, one of our favorite scriptures here, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and infirmity among the people. And so now we come to verse 16. And in a way, this is where we find ourselves today. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. These are the people that knew him when he was just a kid. He'd been everywhere else, and they'd heard all of the wonderful stuff that he was doing everywhere else. But these were the people that knew him as a child, as a teenager. Now he's a man, and here he is. And he came to this place where he'd been brought up, and just like he'd always done, just as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. teachers would stand up and get to read a part of the scripture. And it's really a beautiful thing to go to like a messianic group and to watch how they unroll the scroll and they find a place and they read a scripture. And that's how it was back then. That's how they were doing it. And then after that, he delivered unto him the book, the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And what he read blew their minds. I mean, you know, the word of God is something. It's amazing. But you know how easy it is for us to take the word of God just as, well, it's just normal. It's just stuff. It's just, we're used to it. We're really used to the word of God. There's probably nothing that I will say today out of the Bible that you have not heard before. Oh, you may have slept through it, so you may not have remember it now. But frankly, I don't say a whole lot of new stuff. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Father is with me. The Spirit is with me. I am in line with what I'm supposed to be doing. We're here for you now. And because, why? Because he hath anointed me. He's poured out on me. He's chosen me. He's ordained me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the gospel to the poor. That sounds good and it sounds bad to me. It sounds good because I am so glad that Jesus came to announce the good news of the kingdom to me. He came to tell us of the good news that the sovereign king is in charge. He came to tell us that there is none other like him and that he was now in charge and the kingdom was at hand. It's all around us and all we have to do is surrender to see it fulfilled. He came and he said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Here's the challenge. Most of us don't think we're poor. We worked hard. And we may not think we're rich. But we don't think we need all that much. You know what I'm saying? I think most of us will be able to put food on our table when we go home today. So we're not poor. Most of us have clothes on our back, so we're not poor. We've got everything that we need, so we're not poor. We don't think of ourselves as poor. We think of ourselves as being able to keep ourselves. We think of ourselves as being able to hold ourselves up. We think of ourselves as, well, kind of strong. We think ourselves as people who will do our best to carry on and not to need others. When I was a 13-year-old kid, I made a point of saying to God that I'm going to make sure that I don't need anybody else. It was a sad, sad, sad thing. I spent my life trying to make sure that I didn't need you. I could hold my own anywhere. And then one day you come to the realization that that's all an illusion. That's just an illusion. Without God, you don't get your next breath. Without Him, you can do nothing. You need Him. You can't think right. You can't act right. Some of us have thought, well, I could keep myself clean, and you found yourself dirty. Some of us think that we're so smart and you do something really dumb. Some of us think of ourselves as so strong and you find out just how weak you are. You have beauty, but everybody sees you as ugly. You have so much pain that you can't control. We don't see ourselves as poor. Folks, I'm gotta tell you, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt us in due time. So Jesus reads, He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I have experienced a broken heart. Some literal ways for me. I have a scar right down here. They took my heart out and flipped it around and turned it upside down and rotor-rooted it and put it back. I had a broken heart, but I've also had a broken heart when I've seen people not accept that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I know that unless something happened that I am not aware of, they passed on from this life into a godless eternity. I know that there are people that have so much hurt and pain, and I can't fix it. And unfortunately, there have been times in my life where I've caused hurt and pain. Have you ever caused hurt and pain? And you, if you could just get that back, if you could just fix it, but it's too late. It's too late. You've gone down a path that you can't get back from. It's too late. Oh, but the good news is Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Oh, our habits at times have just grabbed us by the throat and dragged us anywhere that habit wanted to take us. For some, it's been drugs. For some, it's been alcohol. For some, it's been sexual misadventures. For some, it's been so many different things. Some of it's low self-esteem. Some of it's thinking too highly of yourself. But we're addicted to it, and we chase it, and we chase it, and we chase it. They put on the side of cigarette packs, "This will kill you," and people pay ridiculous amounts of money to have them. We know that drinking alcohol is a foolish thing, yet we do it. Don't misunderstand. It's not illegal. I'm not saying that you're doing something illegal when you're doing that. In fact, the Bible even talks about it. But you know, it's not for kings. You are kings and queens if you know Jesus Christ, and you need a sober mind so that you might enjoy the presence of the living God and be a help to all those around you. Amen. And then there are those who even do the foolish, illegal things. We've had people in this congregation people that we loved and cared for die. From things that they put in their bodies. Will we admit that we need deliverance? Will we admit we need deliverance? In fact, will we admit that we are no longer doing some of the things that we used to need deliverance from, but those things have caused lifelong damage to us? We need deliverance. So he brought deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. The blind need to see so that they might be able to comprehend on what's going on around them. Sometimes we can't see what's going on around us. Sometimes we just don't seem to get it. Sometimes we just don't understand what we're seeing, and we're so desiring something else, not realizing that we're not getting the picture. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Sometimes we feel like life has beat us and beat us, and it hurts and it's painful, and just putting one foot in front of the other is such a challenge. One foot in front of the other is painful and it hurts, and we need so much to escape that pain. We need Jesus to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now's the time. This is it. And so this is what Jesus, the kid going back to his hometown, reads. Now he reads this in the scroll, rolls the scroll back up. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. That's what you did when you were about to teach there. Here we stand up. But there, when you were about to teach, you sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were staring. They wanted to hear what he had to say about this thing. And he began to say unto them. This means this was a big thing that he did. He didn't just say this, but he said this much. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, at first, the people were like, "Yeah, wow, that means the Messiah is here." They got that. They understood the Messiah is here. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Wow, this is really something. And they said, but then they said, they stopped and thought about it for a second, and all of a sudden they said, "Wait a minute, isn't this Joseph's son? You remember him, don't you? you remember her. She did some shaky stuff when she was young. This is Joseph's son. Didn't Joseph marry that girl Mary? And wasn't she pregnant when they did, you know? What was the deal here? Isn't this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." Okay. Jesus, we're going to give you a chance. We're going to give you a chance, Jesus. We know where you came from. We know the mess that you've been into. We know all of that. And we've heard about this way that you are. But you know, if we're going to believe you, you're going to have to do some of that miracle stuff right here. You're going to have to do something here for us to be able to really affirm you. Now, you would have thought, well, let me see. Let me, maybe I'll speak a word to somebody and they'll get healed, or I'll lay hands on somebody and they'll change. He could have done that. You know, this is God. He could have done all of that stuff. There's a lot that he could have done. But he says, verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." I'm home, and y'all don't get it. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." I want you to get it, folks. Just because I'm here and you're here doesn't mean you're going to get anything because you don't really believe. Look back in 1 Kings, I believe. 1 Kings 17. And this is a story of Elijah. And he's the Tishbite, and there won't be rain. He had been told by God that there wouldn't be rain, that things were going to go really bad in the country for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Verse 8 in chapter 17. Verse 8 in chapter 17. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Sometimes it's really strange. Sometimes people that seem so weak are the very ones that hold up the people that God has called. And that's an amazing, wonderful thing. I know how people have blessed me. I know that some of you have done so much and given so much, and it's an amazing thing. Here, this widow woman sustains. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink." And she was going to fetch it. He called to her, "And bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, just a little bit left, in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm going to make a last meal for us, and that's all I've got." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Well, the cruse didn't fail, and there was always enough. They go through this whole thing. In fact, the little boy dies, and the prophet raises him up again through the power of God. It's a really wonderful story. But Jesus is saying that didn't happen to everybody. It happened to a particular woman. Then he says, back in Luke verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Uh-oh. Now they get it, what he is saying to them. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, wait a minute, they're saying. We're the church. We're the people that have been here in the church. We're the people who have been doing the right thing. And you're telling us that you're going to bring this outsider, this Gentile, you're going to tell me that they're going to be blessed before me? You're going to tell me that I don't deserve to be blessed because I don't just fall down? You're going to tell me? And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. They threw Jesus out. They threw him out and thrust him out of the city, led him into the brow of a hill. They would have killed him if they could have. Wherein their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You've got to realize Nazareth is kind of on the side of a hill, and around there, you could, the history you could see, there would be one person where great things happen and another person where great things happen, and they could see all of that. They were in the middle of an amazing place in an amazing time, and they wanted to kill him. But passing through the midst of them, went his way. So what's the point of all this? When they realize what God was saying in the word, they were kind of excited. But when they realized that they didn't have the right attitude to receive, we're ticked off. I'm asking you today, do you have the right attitude to receive? Do you have the right attitude that you realize that you need to be counted in with the poor? Do you have the right attitude to recognize that you could be the brokenhearted? Do you have the right attitude to realize that you need deliverance? Do you have the right attitude to recognize you might be blind? Do you? Or do you think that you're the rich? Do you think you are not in need of deliverance? Is you're okay with everything around you? Is that where you're at? You're not bruised, you're the bruiser. We need to approach God with great humility. Are we prepared to approach God with great humility? Because if we don't, he will walk from our midst and go to those that will receive him. He is here to heal us, to help us, to change us. What's our attitude like? He is here. He's God. He has all the power he has always had. What's your attitude toward your need of him? As for me, I need him. I can't make it without him. He is God. And if I don't surrender, confessing my sins, if I don't surrender, recognizing my weakness, if I don't surrender, knowing that I've been captured by stuff in this world and need to be free, if I don't do that, then I could miss him. Please, please, let's not miss him today. Would you bow your head with me? Today, Father, I don't want to miss you. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know I need him. I am asking that you would save me, that you would deliver me, that you would change me. Have all of me. I surrender all. I surrender all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God is moving in your heart. This is the day to surrender fully to him. If he's touching your life today, feel free to stand just as a nonverbal thing, just to show that he's moving in you.